well. Well, once you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at a very familiar passage, one of my favorite passages, beseeching you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You'll remember it when you get there. But Romans chapter 12, I want to just speak to this part of it tonight, though, about what's your mindset, meaning how do you look at things? And all of us have a mindset and how we view things, the window that we look at it, some people picture it as. It'd be like this. If a mother sees a little her boy out there on the ice, and he's skating around, then falls and hurts himself. You've got a brother that's standing over next to the mom, and both of them are watching this boy. You know, the mom's heart goes, oh! And the brother goes, that's nice, you know, because he's probably done something to him. So the mindset, the eye gate is all different. The mom is like, oh, get out there and see if my baby is okay. And the brothers think, I'm going to go push him down again. So sometimes it's all in how we look at things. And we're going to look at this familiar passage of Romans and chapter 12, and just look at the mindset. The Bible says in verse number 2, by the renewing of your mind, and it reminds me of what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that word spirit just means the breath. One of these days, I'd like to teach or preach a series about the spirit, little s, not the capital S, the Holy Spirit, but just your spirit. That literally means your breath, your wind. And the Word of God says in Ephesians 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But it's similar to what it says in chapter or verse 2, and we'll see that. You're looking at verse 1 of Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, again, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we'll stop there, and we'll preach from those two verses and trust that it's a blessing to you tonight, and ask the Lord to help us as we see what our mindset is. Father, bless us now is our prayer, and I pray that every heart that's in here would get some insight. Lord, there's nothing new. Your word's been forever settled. It's what it is. But Lord, you could illuminate some things to us tonight, and I pray that you would do that. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think about this. If you're going to have the right mindset, meaning that's how you look at things. Mr. Rogers, you know, Fred Rogers, who Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, his mom taught him when he was a little boy, whenever you saw a wreck or an accident or people were hurt, she told him to look for the helpers. Meaning look for the policemen, look for the firemen, look for the people that could be help. And that carried through his program that he put on for years and years for children about highlighting different folks that help in different need or times of need, rather. And so how we look at accidents, how we look at problems, how we look at things that are happening in our lives, a lot of that has to do with our vantage point. Somebody looks at a great bad news, and somebody else looks at that same bad news and they say, well, that is bad, but this is a great place for God to work. Somebody said it like this about our world in which we live, and they said that the whole world is falling apart. And one Christian responded back, actually, it's just falling into place. Because as you read the New Testament and you read the Revelation, you read of all the things that are going to happen, you realize that many of these things are just precursors to what will happen. It's all in how you're looking at things. And I want you to look at this part as we search into it. Father, bless us now. Again, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I see, first of all, if you're going to renew your mind, you're going to get the right mindset. First of all, you're going to have to present. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. Much like a present, of course, just something is given. So if we're going to have the right mindset, we're going to come after this presentation. This presentation phase or this presenting stage, it takes all of you. Jared and I went down to see a buddy of his graduate from the Marine Basic Training, and Luke is his name. And so as he was going to that training, can you imagine if somebody's going to the Marines and they'd said to their recruiter or whoever they were ready to sign up for, now this is what I'd like. I'd like to have weekends off. I like to have holidays so I can be back with my family, and if we could negotiate every other Thursday because I've got some things I like to do. Now, you all know and you laugh because that wouldn't fly, Brother Larry Trent, would it? When you get in, they get you. You've heard that story about that boy that was tired of his mom telling him what to do, tired of the teachers telling him what to do, tired of everybody telling him what to do. He says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to join the Marines. You don't present yourself to them and say, here's, let's negotiate who's got what. You just get all in. And from there on, it's known that they tell you what to do. All you do is respond, yes, sir, and go on. So it is the first step of getting the right mindset. This presentation stage has to come. And if you get the right mindset, you look at who you are, be not conformed to the world. But before that happens, before you ever get to a place where you say, well, I'm not going to be conformed to the world, which we'll get to in just a moment, you have to first come to this stage where you just say, God, I give you me. One person's put it like this, draw a circle and step in that circle and say, God, I give you everybody, every part of everybody that's in this circle, and that's me. And so we see here that there's a presentation stage, but not only is there a presentation stage, if we're going to get the right mindset and have this right attitude or outlook, we're going to also have to come to the conclusion that we don't conform to the world. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. That word conformed that's found in that verse that you're looking at is the same one found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. It says this, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts. It's the same root word that this word conformed is to. And so the scripture says, don't conform or don't get into the mold of the world. The Bible says in James chapter 4 that friendship of the world is enmity with God. So the opposite of the right mindset, the correct one, is conformity to the world. Some of my neighbors, when I was just a kid, they would always, they were big fishermen, and so they wanted to make their own sinkers, you know, the lead sinkers you'd put on there. So they had this little mold that you would clamp these things together and tighten it down, and they would melt this lead and pour it in the top, the small holes up at the top, and that hot lead would, after it was melted, would just go down in there and conform to that mold. Well, that's exactly what this scripture is talking about. Be not conformed to this world. Because you've got to understand that this world is trying to push us into the mold that they've designed, or they've decided rather, is what you ought to look like. Now, follow me here. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. We'll get to that in just a little bit about the renewing of your mind. But like that lead completely filled that little mold that they made for those sinkers you put on those fishing lines and cast out there. Just like that, the world is trying to get us to push into its mold. Now, listen. It doesn't take us long to figure out that the world wants us to be okay with a little bit of gambling, a little bit of social drinking, a little bit of pornography, a little bit of all these things, because after all, that's just normal. And that is normal for the world. But the world would love to push you into that formed spot so that you did exactly what they want you to do. You think the world is not trying to soften your biblical stand on homosexuality, for instance? Because they continually want us to conform and get us softened to the idea. That's why they've been putting those folks that live in that lifestyle on all the programs on television for so long. They've been just trying to get you used to it. You think that the world isn't trying to get everybody to think that there's no way that you would believe the fairy tale that God created the heavens and the earth? That's such a bombastic fairy tale. How could you ever believe that? And so the world's trying to get us into the place where you seem like a fool to think that God spoke this world out of nothing. Going on from that, you think that the world's not trying to get through all of the television, movies, and all the rest. You think the world's not trying to get you to seem like an odd, weird, strange kind of duck that thinks that you ought to get married, stay married, and never get unmarried? So you understand that every program that comes on, every conversation that people have, the world is trying to get us to see, or trying to get us to rather fit into their mold and think what their norms are your norms and what their abnormal is your normal. But if you ever look at it like this, if the world thinks it's right, it's probably wrong. If the world thinks it's normal, it's probably abnormal. But the Bible says that we're not supposed to be conformed to the image, or to conform rather to this world, but be transformed. So the answer to not conforming is to be transformed. So the answer for you and I as believers to not buy or to buy into everything that the world sends our way is to be transformed. And then the Bible goes on to say, be you transformed. How do you do that? By the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of your mind, if you need a renewed mind, that means the old mind is not right. And the old mind is the one that this flesh has gotten. And so we need to renew ourselves, renewed in the renewing of your mind. And then it tells us why, so that we may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I want you, if you're taking notes, it'd be like this. Number one, we present. Number two, we don't conform. But again, the world is desperate for you and I to conform to its image. You think this is not true? Follow me on this. You can come up with any strange, weird, wild belief that you want to. And by and large, people will say, oh, that we respect that. You can follow stars, you can follow planets, you can follow all kinds of whims, and I don't know, I just had a premonition, I had a vision, I had this. And as long as it doesn't intersect with Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and what the Bible says, then people say, that's your truth. You can just do whatever you want to. That's fine. That's on one side. On the other side, you've got a loudmouth Christian or a loudmouth preacher that says, well, the Bible says, whoa. You can't bring that in here. This is separation of church and state. This is this. And so all of a sudden, all of that liberty and all of that freedom of thought and all of those things that were just, they touted so loud over on this side, whenever you get to a place and says, I love Jesus and I'm a follower of Christ, I said, whoa, we can't bring that in. And tell me that we're not being conformed to the image of the world in our current Christian culture that we have. You look at music, and I didn't plan on saying this, but you think about the sounds of faith would prove that you can be God-honoring in your music, and you can put forth music that is good and it's enjoyable to listen to, but yet it also doesn't make you feel like you've tried to be as worldly as you can while putting some Christian words to something else. So the world, even in our Christian music, so quote unquote, wants us to conform to its image, but the Word of God says, be not conformed to this world, and the answer to not conforming is transforming. And what does that allow us to do? Number three, it allows us to live in the will of God. Follow with me, if you will, in verse 2. That ye may prove. What's that mean? Prove means to test or prove or scrutinize. Mean to bring under the microscope. And so the Bible says that don't conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is only through the Word of God. That ye may prove or demonstrate or test or scrutinize what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I believe everybody in this room wants to do the will of God. Why would you be here on a Sunday night? Why would you be so weird as to not only come on Sunday morning, but come back on Sunday night? I believe you want to do the will of God. Why else would you be here? But there's one thing to want to do it, but the Bible tells us here how clearly we can find the will of God, and that is to renew our minds so that we can prove or scrutinize or discern or test the will of God. So if you don't have a renewed mind, that heavenly mindset, then you won't have that right spirit of mind, as we talked about in Ephesians chapter 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the only way that you get renewed in the spirit of your mind is to get your mind dwelling on the Word of God. And the Word of God renews that mind. And so then as you get that mind renewed by the Word of God and you live in the Word and the Word lives in you, then all of a sudden you're able to demonstrate, prove, scrutinize that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what I say to that is this in conclusion, when people say, I'm looking for the will of God, a mate, in a home, in a job, in a whatever, if they're a Christian, they're looking for the will of God, and they're not renewing their mind, they're not falling into the Scriptures, they're not letting the Scriptures come down into them, then they're certainly not following the biblical path to find the acceptable and perfect and good will of God. So really, if we're not renewing our minds and getting that spiritual spirit of my mind, as the Word of God says in Ephesians, if I'm not doing that, then what I'm really doing is just looking for the next good opportunity. Can I allude to it this morning? But we as Christians, we're not supposed to do as the world does when we have a decision and put a pros list here. This is why I should. This is why I shouldn't. Now, obviously, all of us start out like that. But if you're trying to decide whether to take a job, not take a job, whether to buy this house, buy that, or do this, that, or the other, there's more to it than us just saying, here's why I should, here's why I shouldn't, which one should I do? We want to find that leading of the Lord, that will of God. We want to find God's leading in these things. And the scripture gives it right here by the renewing of your mind. Do you ever make a decision when you're really not that with it? Maybe you just got up, or you should have went to bed several hours before and you're foggy a little bit. Heard about this one fella. He woke up and his wife was really mad at him. And it took him a couple hours to figure out. He said, what in the world is wrong? And then she told him about this dream that he had. And in this dream, he did something totally stupid and was mean and shouldn't have done it. He said, yes, but that was a dream. She says, I know, but that seemed like something you'd do, so I'm still mad. When you're not fully awake, you don't make great decisions. Let's put it on the spiritual side of it. I've been many times that I knelt down to pray, and then 20 minutes has passed, but 20 minutes of prayer hadn't passed. And I wake back up and say, oh, Lord, where was I? We get in a fog sometimes. Well, not only do we get a fog when we're sleepy or when we're overtired or overstimulated or whatnot, but we also get in a fog sometimes spiritually when we're not renewing our mind. We're not getting in the Word of God, letting the Word of God get in us. And so we see that we've got to be in the right mindset to discern God's will. And here we go sometimes trying to make decisions just on whims. But the scripture gives us this steps, if you will. Number one, present yourself to God. Don't conform to the world. How would we know whether some of the decisions that we're supposed to be making are right? We haven't even prayed. We haven't even presented ourselves to God. And we certainly haven't stayed there for a while in prayer. Present, give God yourself. Don't conform. Don't settle into the world's mold. Sometimes people will tell me this, well, I just don't see that anything's wrong with that as a Christian. Maybe it's some kind of dress, or maybe it's some kind of music, or maybe it's some kind of activity, or maybe it's some getting divorced from this one. One time somebody came into my pastor and said, well, God's led me to dump this one and get this one. And she was talking about wives. Divorce this one, get another one. He said, well, let's back up and make sure God was, you make sure you're talking to God here. But sometimes people will say the wildest things. I think that's what God wants me to do. And what I ask him is this. Have you been in the Word? Have you been in prayer? Because look at it again. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of our mind comes from the Word of God. And so by renewing your mind so that, I'm putting the so in there. That's John's little addition there, not to be irreverent. But by the renewing of your mind, we know that comes from be renewed in your spirit of your mind. And the next phrase back in Ephesians chapter 4, after he says be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the next phrase is, and that you put on the new man, meaning you're walking in Christ. So by the renewing of your mind, so that, if I could be so liberal as to put that so in there, but that ye may prove, and again that just means test or demonstrate, scrutinize, so that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So basically it's like this. You've got some opportunity presents itself. You've got a burden of proof to bring to the whole equation before you go forward and do it. And how do you bring that burden of proof up? You renew your mind in the Word of God, and you let it mull over, and you let it think on, you think on those things, and you let God have time to settle some things on you. So please don't be so naive, none of us should be, to say, oh yeah, I think God, well, that's what I want to do. I hear people all the time say, well, no, I think God's fine with that. And I think that oftentimes we have mistaken the long-sufferingness of God for God's pleasure with something. Just because God doesn't strike us dead when we go out and do something doesn't mean he was pleased with it. He is long-suffering. And so we see that the way to find what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is, all of us want to be in that. The secret is don't conform, but transform by the renewing of your mind. So number one, give yourself to God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies just as a present, as a living sacrifice. Now, One thing wrong with these living sacrifices the Bible talks about right here. I heard an old preacher say it years ago. One thing wrong with these living sacrifices, they keep crawling down off the altar. You know, that's reference to the Old Testament sacrifice. They'd lay one of those goats up there, one of those sheep and all that. They didn't go anywhere. But the preacher said when he got to this part, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, I find myself climbing down back off that altar after I got up on there. But the first step is present. You've got a decision to make. You want the right biblical mindset. Give yourself to God. Take yourself out of the equation. God, I'll do whatever, good, bad, ugly. I'll do whatever. I'm presenting myself. And after you present yourself, don't conform. Don't look to the world and see, well, wonder what they would want me to do, because they'll undoubtedly want us to go wrong unless there's something else in the equation. And then after you don't conform, renew. You renew your mind so that the spirit of your mind, your mindset, is ready to scrutinize and discern God's will. So tonight, what is your mindset? Are you given to God? I mean, have you presented your body? Have you just laid yourself up on the altar? Say, Lord, I want your will. I think about Brother Kyle. We're going to pray for him just a little bit. He'll take the teens to camp. Sometimes people say, I don't think I want to go. And maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. Nah, that's not important. But I think that sometimes when we talk about praying about it, we really just gave lip service. The Bible says present. Lay your body up on there like the priest used to take those sacrifices and put them up on there to be consumed. Because after they got up on that sacrifice, they're God's. We're not getting them back. And that's the way God wants us to live. Present your body. Don't conform to the world. But instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And your mind gets dirty every time it goes out into this wicked world. I don't mean dirty stories and dirty words. That may happen too. But I'm saying that we get affected by this world that we live in out there. It's me. It's mine. What's in it for me? Push out of my way. If I can't get to the first line, I don't want to do it at all. That's the mindset of the world. We have to renew our mind. I got to get back home and get back in the book and say, wait a minute. It's not every man for himself. It's the first should be last and last should be first. Amen. I got to renew my mind. I got to set that reset button so that I can prove, I can scrutinize and figure out what that perfect will of God is. All of us need to know the will of God. And here's the way that it happens. We get in the Word, renew our minds so that God then can show us that next step I take. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, these are wonderful folks. And I believe that they want to do your will. But Lord, sometimes I think that we operate more in a worldly mentality than we do a godly mentality. We just look at the options and say, I'll take that one. When we ought to be renewing our minds, getting in the Word of God. Forget about that decision for a little bit. Renew our minds. Get our thinking right. So that we might be able to scrutinize what is the good will of God. What is the perfect will of God. And then what's the acceptable will of God. Father, help us now is our prayer to get in that kind of mindset. Maybe somebody in this room needs to present themselves. They've never thought about that. They just need to give themselves to you. We hear about it at teen camp sometimes that a young person would go forward and say, I'm yielding myself to whatever God wants me to do. Lord, that's not just for teenagers. That's for everybody. And I pray, dear Lord, maybe somebody else got convicted about that conforming to this world. They never thought about it, but they realize now tonight they're allowing themselves to be shoved into the mold of the world. Lord, you know we're not supposed to be in the mold of the world. We're supposed to be in the mold of the Word of God. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as they play something through? And if God has spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Perhaps you're here and the Lord has just driven something in on you and you feel the need to come. You say, I don't have to come to the altar. You're right, you don't have to. And certainly nothing special about these carpeted steps, except for the fact that they indicate that you're yielding something to the Lord. So if you want to come, this altar is open for you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. I didn't preach toward that. But you know that something's not right in your life. You've got that hole. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what you try to fill it with, it will never get filled except by Jesus Christ. If that's you tonight, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit I preach from. He'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Would you step out and come? Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have. We'd like to help you with any and all of that. As he plays one more verse. Well, thank you. You can look this way. I'd like to, if you, it's 7:32, if you've got time just to sit down for a minute. I'm going to have Brother Kyle go through this. I don't know who the brainchild was that came up with this schedule, but he's going to leave at 5 a.m. tomorrow. That's a dedication right there. And so he's going to take the teenagers to, they just have to leave that early because of schedule. I'm sure he would have rather waited till 5:15 or so, but he's going to go ahead and leave at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so what I'd like for him to do is just come and give you a few prayer initiatives. So if you get something to write it down, so you'd pray for them all week this week. They'll come back on Friday. And, of course, the big one is safety, of course, but then the Lord to speak their heart. And so I'm going to ask him to come up. And then, Brother Shannon, would you mind coming to the platform? I'm going to have you pray after he gets done and pray we'll all gather together in prayer as Shannon prays, but then Kyle will give us a few prayer initiatives so that this week you can pray for him and the group.
Well, you can see up there on the screen, there's four specific things we're going to ask you to pray for. And the first one we're going to talk about is praying for safety. We are leaving, as Pastor said, at 5 in the morning. And so pray for safety getting down there, and a lot of excitement getting there, and all the things going on, and all the busyness of camp. But do be in prayer for safety getting there and back and the whole week that we're there. And then the next thing I'm going to ask you to pray for is pray for tender hearts. Pray that the teens would be ready for this week at camp, not just physically ready, but spiritually ready. And we're working with the teens and trying to get them prepared for that. But be in prayer for tender hearts. Third thing I'm going to ask you to pray is that God would move. And I know the Lord wants to work in the hearts and the lives of the young people of this church. And so just pray that God would move this week while we're at camp. And the fourth thing I'm going to ask you to pray for is this. Pray for the teens to take spiritual steps. I know in my own life, a lot of times when we go to camp, it's easy to make a camp decision. Decision while you're at camp that only affects the next day, maybe. But we want them to take spiritual steps in their lives. Not just to make decisions, but steps forward in their spiritual life. Things that last for the rest of their life. So be in prayer for these four things. Pray for safety, tender hearts, God to move, and for teens to take spiritual steps. Brother Shannon, I'm going to ask you to come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given our teens to go to camp this week. And Lord, I know we've been praying personally that the Lord would touch, the Lord would move. And Lord, I pray that you will just guide them. Lord, they're leaving very early in the morning. Lord, traveling several hundred miles, Lord, to get there on time for registration. And Lord, you know all that. And Lord, I pray that you'll protect, that you'll guide as they travel. And Lord, I pray that as they get there, Lord, there's lots of fun with teen camp. But Lord, at the same time, there's lots of decisions to be made. And Lord, I pray that our teens, our hearts will be tender. Lord, that they will feel your presence, and Lord, experience in their spiritual life growth through this week of camp. And Lord, I pray that our church, I pray that me personally, our family, we praying not only for our own, but Lord, for all the kids that are there. Lord, I pray for Kyle and Anna. Lord, I thank you for their leadership in our teens' lives. And Lord, I pray that you'll give them great wisdom as they're there. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we will hear great things from camp when they come back to our service and come back to church. And Lord, I thank you for everything that you're going to do and trust in everything that's going to happen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And for all of you night owls, I'd like for you to report here promptly at 5 o'clock to make sure they get off good. And no, just joking. I don't want you to be here. We don't want you to be unsafe. You don't get to bed till 1 and get back up at 5 to get over here. But I want you to keep them in prayer, and we will certainly look forward to a great and wonderful week. Who all is going as workers, Kyle? The Rotens and the Snyders and Miss Estep. So you pray for them as well, and God will bless each and every one of them. Brother Ed, if you don't mind, to slip on back to the lobby, and hope that you'll get some CDs. If you have a CD player in your car, my car has one, and so it's a wonderful place to listen to some good godly music. If you have one, then please do that. And if you download all yours, then get information about the streaming app that they have, and they're developing more and more options or applications for that, and it'll be a blessing to you. So let's all stand together. Thank you for being in church together tonight, and I hope that you'll spend a few minutes. You'll talk to 3 or 4 people who you haven't talked to yet this evening, and just tell them it's good to see them. Tell them that you're praying for them. Tell them whatever you want to tell them, as long as it's nice and Christian. And then after you get done telling them, if you can't tell them anything nice and Christian, I guess, like Mom said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything. But try to find something nice, and talk to 3 or 4 people before you leave, and God bless you. Let's be praying for these young people as they go, and we'll pray all week for them. You're dismissed.